news and views from a non-street perspective. This is Non-Street Cast, episode 31 for December 20th, 2023. Welcome to Non-Street Cast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Becca.
And welcome.
Hi.
Yet another week of more fun ahead here.
So, here we are.
So first off, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. It's coming up.
And Happy New Year, because actually we're going to record this show on the 20th here for the 20th release. And then at that point there, I think our next show, I think, is not until the beginning of next year, actually. I think our next show is going to be released on the 3rd.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. That sounds about right.
So I guess we'll figure this all out here. Yeah, as we'll record this and everything there. But
so Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Yeah. So anyways, one thing I want to mention here is the last show, when I went and edited the last show, the amount of times that I said, you know, and in this case, was so annoying.
You said you had to count how many was it?
I mean, it had to be at least a hundred times. I have these verbal tics.
I do it too. I say yeah a lot.
I'd rather my verbal tic be yeah than instead of in this case, and you know, to the point where I actually made myself a note on my thing there. You can see it on my webcam. It says, stop saying, you know, in this case, and also talk a little slower too. So
yeah. I need to enunciate a little better, I have noticed.
It's like you listen to yourself and you're like, oh God.
I know. To me, I sound like I'm like mumbling with a marshmallow in my mouth.
But you've always talked like that, mumbling with a marshmallow in your mouth. I've always talked that way too. And you would think with my, you know, I keep buying these $300 microphones and thinking that, hey, yeah, that's going to increase my, you know, my speaking. But no, I need to actually just speak better.
Be consciously aware of it.
Exactly. Anyways, what else is new? Let's see. I bowl on a league, which I'm going to get you to join, by the way, because I know you love bowling.
Yeah, that's fun. I do. I love bowling. I need something to do.
I actually,
besides going to work and coming home.
Me too. That's why I started bowling. Anyways, I started bowling, and before bowling, I bought a new ball, new shoes, new bag, and everything there. You think I'd be better? No, I'm worse. It's like my average used to be in the 150s, 160s. My average this season is 130.
Oh, I don't even know what I would be. It's been so long since I played. I belonged to a bowling league back in the 90s, though, I think.
Last time I bowled was 2018, so I was kind of expecting that I was going to be a little rusty. I didn't expect it to be this rusty, but I'm kind of glad I have a new ball. But the new ball is so different that it's taken a little bit of getting used to, like a whole entire season. So, anyways, talking about the bowling here, when I go bowling in my league every Sunday night, we have a thing called Mystery. It costs $3. And basically the idea is that you pay the $3, and after the first game, when you're getting into the second game, they'll get on the microphone and it's like, you know, tonight's mystery for the first game is 78, 178, 278. So if you have any one of those three scores, you can go and collect the prize. It's like usually $30, $40. After the second game, they do the second game mystery. And then they have a thing called Super Mystery. In Super Mystery, you have the match exactly. So last week, I was bowling. In my second game, I had a 140. Not too bad. You know, nothing to write home about, though. Well, they announced the second mystery, and then they did the Super Mystery. And guess what the Super Mystery was for the second game?
Lay it on me.
140. I won. I won the Super Mystery. I thought I won the $30. No, I won the whole super mystery, the big one that hasn't been claimed since halfway of last season.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's been like, and we're like at the end of this current season. We're going to start a new season in January because this season is split in half, basically.
Okay.
$375.
Wow.
I got a stack of cash that was like 2 inches thick.
That's very cool.
It was in ones.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Somebody worked for tips.
Right? It came to the point where it's like everybody knew that I won $375. So now it was like, great, I'm going to get jumped when I go out in the parking lot. Get back to my car after I'm done bowling.
Hey, Joe, I need a beer. 12 of them.
Well, speaking of paying for things, what happened was is that I decided that our bowling league is doing a fun night tonight. And so in that case, basically, yeah, like each team has to bring something. So we decided that we're going to bring the desserts. So when I won that money, I was like, I gave my coworker, my teammate, $100. And I was like, hey, go and buy all the desserts, like all the pies and stuff that we need for this there. And then just give me back whatever is left over. Which he said to me, I'm not sure there'll be anything left. But I was like, you know, instead of each one of us contributing money there, I'll just pay for the whole entire thing. Because when I won that money, it was like literally like found money. I wasn't expecting to win it.
Yeah, so, totally.
Yeah. So I went ahead there and did that. So I figured, you know, that's my contribution. I'll be nice at least, you know. So are you ready for Christmas?
I am. My girlfriend and I had Christmas this weekend because she has stuff going on with her family. And, you know, like I said before, she lives up near Akron, Ohio. So we only see each other, you know, maybe once or twice a month. So we did our Christmas this week, past weekend. And she took me to see the Trans-Siberian Orchestra for the first time. It was.
So what'd you think?
Oh my God, it was incredible. Like if anybody out there wants to see this show, go, you will not regret it. It is
basically rock and Christmas music.
It is. And they tell a story too. And it's something that you don't often see in some of the viral videos that you see going around. You always see them playing like the Carol of the Bells, and that's their mm-hmm. most famous piece, but they do so much. Like there's a chorus, there are individual singers. There's an entire story with, like flashes on the screen, like there are recorded actors like acting out this thing behind them, and just the laser show that they put on in addition to this incredible music it's a sight to behold.
That's definitely awesome. You got a chance to see them live. I've yet to see them live. I have
my
one
gosh.
Of their CDs.
And yeah, they're so good. I didn't realize they've been around for as long as they have been. Like they said,
like how long have they been around?
Like 25 years plus.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They've been doing this a long time.
Wowee. So, Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
And we had amazing seats too. Like we were in section 113. Like,
so you're like catty corner to the left-hand side of the stage, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we could actually see their faces and everything up close.
Oh,
it was very cool to be that close. And I'd never been to the PPG arena yet. That was my first time there. I haven't been there since it was the Civic Arena.
Right. That's how old we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the last time I've been around that area too.
Yeah, the old Silver Dome.
Exactly. I've been there quite a few times for Penguins games, but I've never been to PPG Paints Arena.
Yeah, it's I mean, it looks a lot like the Civic Arena was set up on the inside, but I gotta tell you, the lack of organization getting in there. Like, we got to the place about 2 o'clock, didn't get to our seats until about 3 o'clock because there was just mayhem at the door there just weren't enough metal detectors or whatever. Everybody came in on the one side. I don't know if there's another entrance from the side that we came in on, but it was just complete mayhem. And that was an unpleasant part of it. But once that we were in there and seated and situated, the show, it was amazing. It was amazing.
You would think after throwing 3 billion events there, they would know better at this point. But
you'd think.
I know. But yeah. Also, too, yeah. So what are you doing for Christmas? I'm not doing much of anything. I'm actually working Christmas Day and the day after, which are considered our work holidays.
Okay.
But I work overnight, so I don't work until 10 p.m. Christmas day. So it's not really I'm working Christmas Day, nor am I doing anything though. So, you know, I'm doing everything Christmas Eve, which is a Sunday, and I'm normally off that day anyways, so no big deal.
Yeah, I am not really doing anything for Christmas. I might visit some people, but my coworker friend invited me to her house for Christmas dinner on the day of Christmas.
Yeah, that's sweet of them.
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot of family, you know, left in this world, and sometimes I feel like I don't have a whole lot in common with my sister.
Okay, and you don't go home.
No, I don't. Yeah, I don't. So. Well, they since our mom passed away, she's going up to see her husband's family, well, mom in Scranton. But that's been kind of the way of it. So I've kind of had to just make my own family.
Okay.
Of friends. For me, sometimes it's better. The people you choose to love rather than the ones that you're kind of forced to love.
The ones you actually want to spend time with as opposed to the ones that you're
forced to spend time with. Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I've always felt more comfortable with the people that I chose to be my little family, you know, and they're wonderful. Like the people that I consider my friend family are amazing people, and they would do anything for me, and I would do anything for them. Sweet. Within, you know, reason, of course.
Hey, I need to borrow $5. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, also.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm sorry. Did you have anything else?
Not about that, really. I had a kind of a sad incident that happened in the last couple weeks. I've had a pet snake for the better part of 20 years, and he passed away 2 Thursdays ago.
I'm so sorry.
And so that's been kind of hard to deal with. And he's been all over the country with me. Wherever I go, he's gone. He has been my best friend, my travel partner, my confidant. You know, I just told him everything. And he's been like with me since I was in my 20s, and I'm almost 50. So that tells you, like, we've been together a long time.
Wow.
And he was my longest relationship. And I came home from work and he was gone.
Now, snakes don't talk, do they?
No.
Okay. No. So he was a good listener, I guess you could say that.
Yeah. He's a great listener, but like, he was very docile and like handleable and kind of sweet, actually. He seemed to know that I was his person, which I never would have figured coming from, you know, that kind of a reptile. But yeah, he seemed to know that, you know, I was his person.
I'm so sorry to hear that. I mean, personally, I am deathly afraid of snakes. But
a lot of people are. Too, it's valid.
I can understand. Where, you know, it's like basically they're like family to you.
Yeah. Yeah. He's
become so close to them.
No matter where I've been, like I moved to Florida at one point, I moved to the Midwest at one point. You know, he's come with me. He rode in my car shotgun from West Palm Beach, Florida to Pittsburgh and back. And yeah, he's just been such a a central part of my life story for so long. I feel kind of lost without him. But people keep asking me if I'm going to get another snake, and I'm not going to at this point because it would outlive me at the you know what I mean? Like, I had him for 20 years and he was 25.
Wow.
So he was 5 when I was when I got him. I adopted him from somebody else. So, another 25 years, I don't think I'm going to be here. And plus, they actually can live up to 35 years, 40 years old, ball pythons. So, I
So they
don't.
could very easily outlive you.
It could. I would have to will him to somebody. And
Yeah.
I just don't want to do that. And like, I would want to know that somebody would care for him or her as much and as well as I would. And once you're dead, you can't be sure of that.
Yeah, and life is not anything to be guaranteed. I've learned that myself,
It is.
considering I kind
It's
of came close to it last year,
yeah. Like, it's life is fragile.
Very much so. Yeah, I don't have any pets. And, it was like I was thinking, okay, once I buy a house, maybe I'll get a cat then. Because I don't want to put him through this small apartment that I live in right now.
Yeah, and moving for cats is particularly
Exactly.
stressful. Dogs will adjust a lot faster than cats will, but
Cats are very much creatures of habit there,
they are. They are.
Exactly. So it was like when I was babysitting my mom's cat, it would not come out from under the bed. And I completely understood why. It was so used to not dealing with other people.
Right.
Of course, when it came
Yeah.
out the one time, it was very nice, but it came out one time and one time only. And
Yeah.
because I had corned beef. Yeah. So
You
they're very
had
food driven.
he had a reason to come out
Exactly.
his stomach.
Exactly. With that said, let's go ahead and get into the news here. You like that news?
I do. It sounds very professional.
Oh boy. It is professional, yeah, because I've heard this in many old newscast recordings, like 70s tracks and everything there. Especially this music.
I love the 70s feel.
Oh my God, hold on here a second.
What is going on? There's like 12 things playing.
Yeah, I realize there's 12 things saying because there is 12 things playing. Let me play what I was going to play. I hit the wrong button.
Okay, we're
I
gonna.
meant to hit this.
I love that. It's like a Hawaii 5-0. It's very
Bum, bum,
70s,
bum. Oh, yeah,
like
because it is from the
Dragnet.
70s.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember the name of it, though. I'm trying to remember. Let me go ahead and look at my drive here real quick here. I'll tell you exactly what the name of it is. Oh, yeah. It's from a band called LA Air Force, Cheap Radio Thrills. That's what it's called.
It sounds very 70s cop show, like
Because it is from the
detectives.
70s, or these actually came on records originally.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, and what I have are from the records, so
Oh, that's cool.
because you can hear the clicks and the pops there when and they're like they play back the track. It's one big long track, and I had to basically go ahead and cut things out of there that I need. So the news, that song, and then our moment of conclusion is all from there. So.
Try this again.
Anyways, here's the news. More than 7.6 million people watched the recent Doctor Who special titled The Star Beast, where longtime favorites David Tennant and Catherine Tate returned to their roles as the Doctor and Donna Noble. The episode also featured the debut of Donna Noble's transgender daughter, Rose, played by Heartstopper star Yasmin Finney, in a scene where the Doctor asks an alien about pronouns. Unfortunately, about 0.00001 89% of those viewers had a problem with the episode and its trans inclusion. The BBC has reported that it received 144 complaints from disgruntled viewers about the Star Beast, specifically the inclusion of a trans character. Some of the complaints said the character was anti-male, while others said it was an inappropriate inclusion of a transgender character. The special didn't just feature a trans actress. Her character's transness was a part of the story. In one scene, Donna is talking to her mother about how much she loves her daughter and how she fears that she'll mess up or say the wrong thing. In another scene, Rose corrects the doctor when he assumes that an alien uses he/him pronouns. Doctor Who showrunner Russell T. Davies had stated before that the special aired that he has no time for homophobes who want to complain about the show. Back in November, Davies was speaking to British press outlets when he brought up that there were people full of absolute hate and venom and the destruction and violence who would like to see that sort of thing wiped off the screen entirely. He said, shame on you and good luck to you and your lonely lives.
Ah, that's an epic response to bigotry like that. Because it's
absolutely.
It really is. Like, unfortunately, the most bigoted people happen to be the loudest. But I think most people are pretty accepting of a lot of things that they maybe have previously not been.
I mean, it's just absolutely incredible there. Yeah, it's kind of like you go into any, like, for example, any new, like local TV station website, and you read the responses to the stories.
Oh, they're horrible.
Oh, my God. Absolutely awful.
Microsoft News is the worst. That is a cesspool of hate, bigotry, and troll bots.
I think what we're talking about is every time you open up Bing.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The news pops up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we've been seeing a lot more like media representation. Representation matters. It matters to the people that are being represented, and it matters, you know, on an educational level to... You know, I noticed recently that there have been a lot of gay couples that have been featured in commercials. And, you know, there's several like TV shows that have had actual trans actors, not playing a trans character necessarily, but, you know, just as trans actors. I know that Ryan Murphy and Brad Falchuk, they've used a couple different trans actors in, American Horror Story. And there's a show called Good Trouble that's okay. Kind of a follow-up to the show The Fosters that used to be on ABC Family. But there's a trans character on there, and she's played by a trans woman. And yeah, it's wonderful. I think it's great.
The thing is that it's like, you know, a lot of people realize or don't realize that these people exist, you know, and the
right.
reason
they
why you hear a lot more about it. Yeah.
Yeah, they think that it's brand new and this is just something that, and that again, that's why representation matters, is because
it's been around forever.
Yeah, yeah.
It will always be around forever.
It's been around as long as
and
people have been
away.
Around. You know,
exactly.
It's just the opportunities, like, they're just not hiding anymore, is what it is.
That is the big difference. And that's why you see a lot more of people coming out, per se, I guess would be the best way to put it there.
Yeah, because they have
living their authentic lives.
Right, because the resources are there and the support is there. And, you know, it didn't used to be like that. It used to be a real problem trying to transition if that's the route you decided to take in life.
Seen that in the drag community there, where a lot of drag queens have decided to come out as transgender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know a couple of drag kings also that
have
since transitioned. Yeah.
And it's just a matter of, it's just they're being on their authentic selves.
I think it's great.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. So,
no, not a bit.
It's just more or less, though, as a gay man, it's just kind of like, wow, things are different than they used to be, but it's that they're more authentic than they used to be. It's not that they're different, they're more authentic, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of people hid themselves, you know, and wouldn't, or if they would transition, they would go completely incognito and disappear and move somewhere that, you know, no one knew who they were. And it's not as much of a stigma anymore.
Very true.
On a separate note, I've never seen an episode of Doctor Who. I'm sorry.
Me neither.
You haven't? Okay, good.
Me neither. You know, I've seen enough clips and I know enough about its history. I know, like, I'm a techie kind of guy. So I know, like, the BBC was missing, like, various episodes of Doctor Who, and they're trying to recover them.
Oh.
Some of them. And they're trying to recover the color information because they had some of them, but they're only in black and white, so they're trying to recolorize them.
Yeah.
So I know all about, like, the technical stuff that goes into all that here, but I don't have actually, I've never actually watched Doctor Who.
Yeah, I've never seen it. I know that it's been a thing for a very long time. And then, you know, in more recent times, they brought back the television show and it, you know, regained its popularity. And I love David Tennant. Like, yeah. he, of course, I'm a Harry Potter fan, of course. And, you know, he was in a couple of those films, or one of those films.
It's kind of odd because I'm not really much of a sci-fi guy. I'm more of a documentary kind of guy.
I watch a lot of those too.
So in this case here, yeah, that's why I've never been attracted to Doctor Who. But
yeah,
you know, I understand the premise and everything out there. But the fact that, you know, people decide, hey, we're going to have a problem with this here because the actor is not who we want it to be.
Right.
It's just completely, you know.
Yeah, I don't.
Completely off the wall.
Yeah. So moving right along, I have a story. Good old Clarence Thomas. He's at it again.
Gee, Clarence Thomas at it again.
Oh, God.
What can he do this time?
There's no end to how awful this man is. It just, I'll just get into it.
Just read the story, please.
Yeah. The Supreme Court said in a filing this week that they are refusing to hear arguments relating to a case in Washington state where Brian Tingley filed a lawsuit alleged that the state's ban on LGBTQ plus conversion therapy for minors violates his First Amendment right of free speech.
So let's note here. The Supreme Court, that they're refusing to hear arguments there. So basically it goes out to the previous court, whatever ruling that they had there.
Yeah. Because it's ridiculous. That doesn't violate free speech to not be able to send kids to conversion therapy. So Clarence Thomas, he predictably railed against the denial in a dissenting comment, quote, "There is a fierce public debate over how best to help minors with gender dysphoria. The petitioner, Brian Tingley, stands on one side of the divide. He believes that a person's sex is a gift from God and integral to our very being," unquote. And then he goes on to say, quote, "If there is any fixed star in our constitutional constellation, it is that no official, high or petty, can prescribe what shall be orthodox in politics, nationalism, religion, or other matters of opinion, or force citizens to confess by word or act their faith therein." He also wrote that yet under SB 5722, licensed counselors cannot voice anything other than the state approve opinion of minors with gender dysphoria without facing punishment. And according to, I know.
Good boy.
And according to members of GLAAD, for those not in the know, that's the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation. Proponents of conversion therapy often intentionally conflate the attempted altering of sexual orientation, gender identity, or gender expression with the treatment of an actual condition such as a sexual addiction.
Yeah, I agree.
The challenge to the Washington law known as SB 5722 was filed by Brian Tingley, a licensed family therapist or counselor who practices conversion therapy. He argues that the state's ban on licensed therapists performing conversion therapy on minors violates his constitutional rights. His constitutional rights to torture people.
Right, like, exactly.
Have you seen what goes into conversion therapy? Like, it's disgusting. Like, it's
absolutely
literal.
It is disgusting.
It's literal torture. Like, literal torture.
And it's not from a place of love. It's from a place of, like you said, actual torture.
Right. Tingley has asked the Supreme Court to hear his appeal, but six of the justices voted not to hear his case. Three, Thomas and Justices Samuel Alito and Brett Kavanaugh dissented and said that the courts should have heard his appeal. Of course, it's the, you know, most conservative on there.
Well, of course, yeah. Because that's not good enough to allow you to have choice. They want you to do it your way or the highway.
Yeah. That's how all these fascists have to work. Like, they have to force you to do what they want. Since the court did not hear his appeal, the Washington law will stay in place. Studies have linked conversion therapy to increased risks of depression, anxiety, and suicidal thoughts. A 2013 survey showed that 84% of former patients of ex-gay therapy said it inflicted lasting shame and emotional harm. Numerous conversion therapy advocates have later come out as still gay and apologized for the harm that conversion therapy causes. Conversion therapy is opposed by the American Psychological Association, which adopted a resolution saying that homosexuality per se is a normal and positive variation of human sexual orientation.
Let's go to the conversion therapy for a second. It's just, it's not bad enough that it's hard enough being gay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's that you have to deal with then people who are trying to change it there, who have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And honestly, the conversion therapy doesn't work either.
No, it doesn't. It's just, like we said, it's torture. There's
exactly.
Like medications that are involved. There's like electric shock therapy involved. There's, aversion therapy. And it's torture. And in some cases, there's like sex forced on them. Like, they're forced to have sex with someone of the opposite gender. Trying to, I don't know what, fuck the gay away.
It's like, it reminds me of the Family Guy thing where it's like they go to a conversion therapy camp.
I never saw that.
they have Pete the homosexual on stage, very effeminate and everything there.
Mm-hmm.
And they give everybody baseball bats and tell them to run after him and hit him with the baseball bats. And then all of a sudden, he runs off screen. All the people with baseball bats run off screen. And then it's like, no, don't use baseball bats that way. Not that way either.
I love Family Guy. I don't watch it that often because I don't have like regular cable, but the episodes that I've seen have been absolutely hysterical. And they always manage to hit on yeah, topics they, like that, you know.
They nailed it. Let's put it that way. But anyways, I think we are ready for our first break.
Right on.
So we'll be right back with more news as Not Straight Cast continues after this. Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. So I guess in this case here, you got all your pee-pees and your poo-poos done, and we're back from the
break. Everything came out okay.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Number ones, number twos, and sometimes number threes.
Sometimes a mixture of all three.
What is number three, though? That's the question. I don't know.
I don't know either. We're talking out of our asses at this point.
Well, that's not number
three. Ha, ha, ha.
Oh, good Lord. Yeah. Anyways, let's go ahead and get into the next story here. This one is about Billie Eilish, which I wrote in the notes as Eilish, because, you know, because I'm an old gay and I will mispronounce it. And yeah. So Billie Eilish, one of the most popular, influential, and critically acclaimed artists of our time, which you think I'd know better, has lost 100,000 followers on Instagram since coming out. On Monday, November 13th, Eilish was featured on the cover of Variety's Power of Women issue. Without actually labeling herself, Eilish said in an interview that she's attracted to women, which was interpreted as a coming out statement, she told the publication. I never really felt like I could relate to girls very well. I love them so much. I love them as people. I'm attracted to them as people. I'm attracted to them for real. She continued, I have deep connections with women in my life, the friends in my life, the family in my life. I'm physically attracted to them, but I'm also so intimidated by them and their beauty and their presence.
Oh, that's kind of sweet.
So, yeah. So, I mean, what the heck? I mean, it's like, you know, that kind of goes back to the last story that we did there in regards there with, you know, the trans individuals, where it's kind of like they're living their authentic life and she's living her authentic life. But people are like, huh, what? And it's kind of like, I can't follow this anymore, you know?
I try to keep it in perspective with regards to that, you know, like it's almost like the trash takes itself out.
Exactly.
Because you don't want people like that that are, you know, I wouldn't want them claiming to be on my team until they find out that, you know, I'm part of the LGBTQ community. And then all of a sudden they hate me just based on that. Like, those aren't the kind of people you want in your life anyways.
It's like, do you like me for me or the fact that I'm straight?
Yeah. Know? Yeah. Why does it matter kind of so much?
With, you know, exactly. And you can't seem to get past the fact that she may not be straight.
Right. Right.
It's beyond me.
And those of us that, you know, listen to her music and, you know, follow her, it wasn't really much of a surprise. At least to me, it wasn't when she came out. I was like, oh, I've just been waiting for that. But
she's an artist.
Yeah.
I mean, it just one of those things that's just another side to her personality, you know?
Right. It doesn't change her music at all. It doesn't change her talent at all. And I think that, you know, I'm not a huge fan of her stuff, just because, like, I'm old. But it's good, and it's really different. Like, if you listen to her stuff, it's really, really different than the average songs you hear on the radio these days.
I will be honest, though, I'm stuck in a permanent, like, 70s and early 80s new wave.
Yeah. Kind
of thing, to the point where I have records behind me here, as you can see, Becca looking on our webcam here.
Yes.
All these records I have. Actually, I have records on my wall. Record player, speakers, tons of records.
Yeah. And records are starting to become more popular. So you might start seeing some of the modern artists, you know, coming out with vinyls.
I was just going to say that actually vinyl outsold CDs.
It's come back around. I actually just, Sue got me a record player for Christmas, so I can play my albums again. Yay.
I guess I'll get you some albums then, huh?
Word.
Do you need albums?
Oh, I have a whole mess. I have a whole trunk full of them. Like, okay. I have ones back from when my mom was like a kid. I like all the old stuff too.
A good place to get albums at, believe it or not, is Half Price Books.
You said that. You mentioned that. I'm going to have to look. I'll have to look there. Yeah, sure.
They're not horribly priced. You know, it's like I got a Cyndi Lauper, She's So Unusual album.
I saw that when I was over the last time. That was
for $10. Yeah. That's not bad.
No, not at all. No, absolutely. That's a great price.
Yeah, and they actually have some decent stuff there. So I'm trying to think what else I got there that was that's the only one I have up on my wall that I got there from Half Price Books, but there's a few other albums I got. It's definitely worth a look there every once in a while to go in there and take a look and see what they have. You know, so
peruse.
Yeah, I have to go to other record stores. But anyways, yeah, we got way off track here.
Yeah, we did. Reel it in.
Reel it in there. But anyways, talking about women you don't like.
So let's talk about Caitlyn Jenner. Her latest public embarrassment comes with her declaring that trans women aren't real women and begins complaining about the woke movement.
Then what is she?
As an aside, like, what the actual fuck? Like, the privilege and audacity is nauseating, seriously. I wonder how she'll react if the Republicans gain control of the presidency and all her rights are taken away and she's no longer able to get her medication and is forced to detransition, because that's the plan. That's their plan they have in place.
What will she be? She won't be a female anymore, right?
Well, apparently she's not now, according to her.
I don't know. It's like you're talking out both sides of your mouth, basically, is what this is boiling down to.
Well, Caitlyn Jenner, the Olympic gold medalist, reality TV star, and failed GOP California gubernatorial candidate, said that trans women aren't really women in an interview with British anti-trans actor John Cleese. And if you don't know who he is, he was made famous in the Monty Python show, where she complained about how other trans people tend to not like her. Well, gee,
I wonder why we don't like you.
Yeah, I wonder.
You suck as a human being, not that you're trans.
Yeah,
it's that you suck.
And she says, quote, "I just think the woke movement has just gone too far. I can be fair and not be woke. I can be a caring person and not be woke. You know, I care about people. That's why I do what I do." Oh, God, the horror of having empathy and not being an asshole. You know, that's literally what woke means. It's having, you know, empathy for like the struggles of other people.
But, like giving two shits. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jenner then talked about her coming out process, saying that she tried to transition in a dignified way for the sake of trans people in general. But instead of thanks, all Jenner got was criticism for her being a Republican, she complained.
Well, gee, we wonder why you got criticism for being Republican, because Republicans are pretty much against everything that you are for.
Right.
Trying to, you know, promote, or I that's not the best way to put that there, but basically everything that you're for, Republicans are against.
Yeah. And she goes on to say that I get a lot of flack from mostly trans people who don't like that I'm Republican and I support President Trump. Jesus Christ.
It's not that you're Republican even, it's that you support the piece of crap, you know,
that wants to take rights away, you know. And and just to like comment on, you know, what I said earlier about, you know, the government taking her rights away, that the thing is, though, probably with people like her, wealthy people, they're always going to have access to things that the rest of us wouldn't have under, you know, say a fascist regime.
Your rights not being taken away, we're not also not taking away your money, so
right?
Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, shut up. So she continues saying, "I see these trans women are real women. No, you're not. Okay. That's the bottom line," she continued. "I had everything changed. Birth certificate, gender marker, female. Okay. Everything's changed. Driver's license. I'm a pilot. Pilot's license. Your name on every piece of everything that's in my name is legally Caitlyn Marie Jenner, gender marker, female. Okay. So I live my life as a woman, but I'm not. I don't consider myself this. I am a woman now," and on, she said in a mocking tone. "No, I consider myself a trans person." And despite her statement that she has never gotten flack from Republicans, she has been heckled in person, mocked online by her fellow Republicans. And she also talked about how Republican leaders didn't want to be seen in public with her when she ran for governor. What are your thoughts?
Well, if you're a piece of shit, you stink like a piece of shit, you basically are a piece of shit, you know. So that's what I think about this whole entire situation. Yeah,
it's honestly,
if you're not well liked, then
yeah,
nobody wants to be around you, then what else do you expect?
I don't know. Maybe one of our listeners can, you know, come up with an explanation as to why somebody would be so adamant to support a party that is, like you said, against everything she is, basically.
Feedback at notstraightcast.com. feedback@notstr8.com. CAST.com. So anyways, we have one last story, and this one is completely off the rails.
I can't wait. I love the stories you find.
So now it's time for our amendment of conclusion. If you thought that wearing white after Labor Day was a risky fashion faux pas, you may not have heard of the Straw Hat Riots of 1922. Over the course of 8 days, boys and men fought each other on the streets of New York, resulting in injury, jail time, and general mayhem. Here's why. So in the early 1900s, straw hat season for men customarily began on May 15th, which was Straw Hat Day, and ended on September 15th, which is Felt Hat Day. And it was considered an etiquette violation to wear the wrong hat outside these dates. Huh. Leading up to each new hat season, there was an uptick in newspaper advertising touting the latest styles or lowest prices, with many shops staying open late to accommodate shoppers. The mark to end the summer, men would swap out their straw hats in mid-September. Stockbrokers, in an early display of bro culture, and presumably because they could afford to buy a new hat the next year, would playfully smash each other's straw hats, often on the stock market floor on September 15th.
I just got a really wild visual of that.
What was that?
Just like a bunch of men, you know, looking at the NASDAQ screen, like throwing their hats down and just like jumping on them like gorillas.
So the Pittsburgh Stock Exchange, perhaps in an anti-frivolity stance, lengthened its season in 1921 with the floor committee unanimously agreeing that straw hats may be worn in, with all propriety and dignity attached hereto, until and including October 1st. You know, isn't it like it's always funny. They're like, you listen to things from the 1920s and they're like always talking like, you know, they're snobby as all hell, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, so proper. So the celebratory ritual destruction of the straw hats evolved beyond the Wall Street set, and men who dared to breach the seasonal hat dates or were just oblivious were subject to ridicule or having their hats snatched off in disapproval. In 1922, a few days even before the end of the straw hat season, gangs of teens or preteen boys began harassing voter donning men and stealing or smashing their hats and sometimes skulls. These attacks and skirmishes went on for 8 days with mobs of hundreds on the streets. Newspaper accounts relayed the mayhem. Gangs of young hoodlums ran riot in various parts of the city last night, smashing unseasonable straw hats and trampling them in the street. A favorite practice of the gangsters was to arm themselves with sticks, some with nails at the tip, and compel men wearing straw hats to run a gauntlet. Boys who were guided by the calendar rather than the weather indulged in a straw hat smashing orgy throughout the city last night. A dozen or more were arrested and seven were spanked
ignominiously
by their parents on the East 104th Street police station by the order of the lieutenant at the desk.
What?
This is from the New York Times. Many men fought back, one presumed to lose an eye, and many youths were brought to night court in front of the magistrate Peter A. Hadding. Yes, Hadding. They handed down fines and some short jail stays. Against the law to smash a man's hat, and he has a right to wear it in a January snowstorm if he wishes, declared Hadding. So for 100 years out, it's kind of hard to understand the fuss about hats, perhaps anticipating the angst that was the men were feeling about hat switching day. Helen Rowland, in a September 5th, 1922 column for the Brooklyn Exchange, offered her thoughts on men's attachments to their hats. The average man's devotion to his hat is one of life's great mysteries. It seems to be something sacred in his life, which he cherishes and protects as passionately as he does his dignity, his honor, and his grandmother's memory. He will fight for it, quarrel over it, and risk his life under a motor truck or a trolley car to savage its remains. In a wind, when a boy wants to start a fight, all he does is to snatch another boy's hat, and the battle is on.
You know, I've seen that in films where
snatching straw hats.
Well, just snatching a hat in general, like starting a fight, but I've never heard about any, like, I've never heard of this. This
I've never heard
weird.
Of it either.
It's weird.
I never heard of it either until that story came out.
Yeah.
And I saw it there. I'm kind of like, this is weird. This yeah, I is guess really it, odd.
This isn't something that's taught in American history classes. Of course, there's right? a lot that isn't.
It's kind of like, you know, It's amazing how things have changed since that time. Because I'm just like, imagine if I was wearing the wrong hat after, you know.
Well, now it's you can't wear white pants or shoes after Labor Day, you know, and it's
well, I wear black all the time. So,
yeah, same.
Oh, well.
I'm trying to get away from that these days with putting more color into my wardrobe, but I always like wind up going back to black.
Like one color you'll see me in when I'm outside is in pink because I look good in pink. But there's colors that you would think would look fine that look awful on me, like orange.
Yeah.
Yellow.
I love orange and yellow, but I can't wear them. I'm a natural redhead and it doesn't go, like, it does not match my skin at all. It makes me look like pale.
It's like more dead than we already are, right? Oh, man. Oh, man. But anyways, I think we're at the end of the show, right?
We are.
So subscribe to us. We're all great podcasters sold. Also, check out notstraightcast.com, which has links to our previous shows, our Facebook, Twitter, the Not Straight Store, and more.
If you like us, please suggest us to a friend and leave a 5-star review in your favorite podcast app. Email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com. We want to thank you very much for listening to our show. And until next year, have a not straight one. Bye for now.
Bye.